Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. How does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
How does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Each of the approved Marian apparitions has always a particular flavor. There's always something particularly distinctive about it. Of course, in Lourdes, Mary identified herself. She named herself in accordance with God's prevenient grace, God's initiative. "I am the Immaculate Conception." Mary came down to Fatima. Again, she was focused on that reality of her Immaculate Conception, her Immaculate Heart, her Immaculate Life, God's plan for us to be holy and immaculate in His sight, and how she sought through the three Pastorinus to help people triumph over sin through her. In Guadalupe, the biggest characteristic is her maternity. How does it happen that the mother of my Lord should come to me? She identified herself when she first met Juan Diego that early Saturday morning, December 9, 1531, as the Virgin and Mother of God. She identified herself first and foremost in her relationship to God, a relationship to the Son of God who took on her own very flesh in the womb. But then after his first failed mission to Bishop Zumárraga and came back asking for someone more illustrious, someone more important, someone more capable to be sent to make her petition, she said, as you'll sing later today in this beautiful new top 50 hit of the Sisters of Life, "Am I not your mother?" She wanted, in a particular way, to mother Juan Diego to become like her son. She wanted to mother all the peoples of the new continent in a way that the Franciscan friars had not yet been capable of doing in their years of missionary work there. Within a decade of her coming to Juan Diego, almost the entire continent would have come over. It's extraordinary how quick Mary's motherhood acted and how fruitful it was. But the first way that we celebrate this feast is relating to Mary as mother. I think it's the easiest way to relate to Our Lady. We can relate to her as a fellow disciple. Can relate to her as the Supreme Consecrated One. But there's a particular facility in looking at her from the eyes of Jesus. And she was always Jesus' mother. And so the more that we identify with the Lord Jesus, the more we seek to imitate Him, the more we seek to let His virtues reign in us. One of those virtues will be the way He kept the fourth commandment with relation to His mother. The type of reverence he had for her, even the confidence he had to be able to speak to her straight up. "What does this have to do with me? It's not yet my hour. Why were you searching for me? Did you not know I had to be in my Father's house? He had such an extraordinary confidence that she'd be able to understand precisely what was coming from him. And so we can receive so much more of Mary's maternity by entering more deeply into her son. But at the same time, especially for you sisters, called to exercise in a Marian way your own spiritual maternity, how important it is for you to focus on Mary's maternity as the model for the way that you interact with everybody else. That you'll challenge people as mother. That you'll identify yourself, if not explicitly with words, in your interaction with everybody, no matter what age, even people who are the age of your great-grandparents, as a spiritual mother. And the growth in your vocation happens when you can begin to look at each other and be mutually maternal toward each other, while at the same time humbly and mutually filial. Your spiritual maternity is the way that you're going to be able not just to preserve your chastity against sins against chastity, but for this vow that you've taken to become truly fruitful. The Lord calls you to be mothers, mothers of mercy, mothers who are compassionate, mothers who go out after sick and lost children, so that others will be able to say, in some sense, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? In the Ambrosian sense, that we conceive the same Son of God within us when we hear his word, and it begins to grow in us and we become pregnant with it to such a degree that we can't but give it to the light. And so Mary can help so that in your seeing Christ, her son, and others, you can treat him with that form of special Marian maternal love. When we look at how Mary exercised her maternity in the case of Juan Diego and in the case of the Mexican people more generally, we can highlight today three aspects. First is she wanted to create a home. And so she gave a mission ultimately to the bishop, but through the modality of this 57-year-old foot shuffling, 7-year convert named Juan Diego. She wanted a teocalli built, a temple, a place where people would be able to come and experience her warmth or comfort and entrust themselves to her, as she said. And that's precisely what happened on Tepeyac. And that temple bore those fruits. It's curious that in Lourdes, likewise, Mary asked for a place to be built where people could come to experience her maternal medicine. In Fatima, she didn't explicitly ask, but by this point, it had become common that there would be a place in which people would be able to encounter her spiritually, as Jacinta, Francisco, y Lucia experienced her appear. But to have a house, to have a place where they would be able to come and experience her maternal warmth was the first way she was doing it. And so we likewise need to enter that home first as disciples, to go where we can find Mary, which is not so much a physical location, because the physical location is a symbol of the fact that she opens up her life for us. So we enter into her heart, enter into her prayers. I like to think, when I long for heaven, that heaven is not this place designed by men. If it were men, we would have skyscrapers, just like we have here in New York. Everything would be clean. The engineering is going to be exquisite. We're all going to have our minds blown. But I have a sense that Mary has brought her maternal warmth to heaven. And so there are going to be lots of these things that will help us, through her maternity experience, the gift of God's glory forever, and how appropriately to receive it. I think every saint's going to be looking to Mary to see how to interact with the Trinity. And so here on earth, we enter into that maternity, and then we open up our hearts toward others to recognize that we need to bring them to that place where they're going to be able to entrust themselves to God through Mary. And sometimes that place is not going to be St. Vincent Ferrer or St. John Nepomucene or St. Catherine or even the Mother House or Villa Guadalupe. It's going to be you entering into you and your own devotion to Our Lady is going to be that bridge so often. So please don't be afraid. Second way she mothered Juan Diego was giving him a mission, showing he was worthy of trust, showing that she had confidence in him. I love that dialogue after he had come back feeling like a failure and he was begging her to choose somebody else because he knew that this was an important mission and he just felt totally incompetent. Many times we likewise will feel incompetent for the particular task. And so she said, yes, I have many others I could have chosen. I've chosen you. And now I want you to go back and ask again. You know, when he's there in the frigid courtyard outside with all of Bishop Zumarraga's handlers exasperated that this guy would come back and waste the bishop's time. And even the bishop benignly and condescendingly, in a sense, treating him as if he was just one of the crazies that constantly come still today to priests to say, Our Lady has given you this message. I want you to do exactly what I've been bugging you to do on my own. And now I've just had a sort of little intimation when I was in the chapel, and then therefore it must come from God, and you act. I mean, we get this all the time. And the Castilian bishop was kind. But back went Juan Diego with nothing. But Mary entrusted him with that mission the third time. She didn't give up. She was forming him to continue to grow in trust, not to stay down when he failed, how to persevere in faith so that you'd be able to persevere in life. Juan, as you know, on that third day was trying to run from Our Lady. He thought that was an act of charity in order to be able to care for a sick relative. But Our Lady, with great maternal love, met him on the other side of the mountain. And it was there that she said, I want you to go up to the top and pick the Castilian roses that he was shocked were still growing there despite the frost. He didn't know the miracle behind it. And he brought these roses from Bishop Zumarraga's native place that hadn't been planted yet in Mexico to the bishop. It's interesting that this was the sign that Zumarraga had asked for and that Mary had transported, that they had to be plucked, that they weren't already plucked. There was the work involved and all the rest of it. But fruit, flowers, flourishing life from one's own home. Mary had doubtless already seen what Zumarraga was going to be asking. He wanted something from his earliest days. And I'm convinced that Zumarraga used to use roses in Marian processions, roses in the early days of his priesthood to place at the foot of Our Lady to adorn his love for her. If this woman was really Our Lady, he wanted to have roses to present to her in a sense. Because that was the way that he had his own piety. And bang, it's dropped there for him. And at first we know he had the sign that he had secretly asked for as proof. But there was something else that I've always considered phenomenal. With the possible exception of the Shroud of Turin, Juan Diego's tilma is the most famous piece of clothing of all time. He was just using that maguey fiber as something to keep him warm on a mountain in middle of December. But he put that at the service of the gospel. And Mary, in a sense, enfleshed herself in his habit. And all the miraculous studies that have been done, nothing will ever beat what you can see in the eyes including with what we now know of optics and how things are inverted from one eye to another, all of that stuff nobody would have ever been able to know at the time, not to mention depict. But in every controlled study of this type of fiber, even behind glass, a tilma doesn't last 20 years. And here we are 485 years later. It's in good a shape as it was that morning in Bishop Zumarraga's office. What does this mean symbolically? Mary mothering Juan Diego wanted herself, in a sense, to impress herself so much in his life that he would become Mary in his appearance, that he would become like Mary, this woman in the visitation who comes, that he would be the assistant, that she would travel with him as he journeyed, that they would share that same divine task to bring all people to faith. Mary wants to mother us in the same way, to help us to unite ourselves with her maternal mission, with her son's maternal mission, so that we'll become one thing. How beautiful it is, sisters, that blue scapular, and I don't even know, do you call it a mantilla? What do we call this?
Cape.
Okay, very sophisticated word. The cape. But that it communicates even to a colorblind person that there is something Marian about you. And that Marian aspect of your life is supposed to grow, so that when people see you, they see a little bit of this woman who says, "Did you not know that I am your mother?" So that they are able to feel so blessed that the mothers and the bride, in a sense, of their Lord have come to them. Today, as we come forward to celebrate this feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, we ask through her intercession that we might become a fitting teocalli for her son, so that we might open up our hearts to be able to bring everybody else into that love, so that we might be spurned on in our mission to bring the message of God and the message of how human cooperation with God is possible as we imitate Mary to others, and that we ourselves, even in our external appearance, might become more and more like Mary. Viva la Virgen Guadalupe.